Warning, this episode is full of sex, guns, and attempted murder. But enough about going home for the holidays. Listener discretion is advised. Coming to you from America's Wang, this is Florida Man, the podcast for Tuesday, December the 17th, 2019.
Each week we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
Coming up in episode 117 this week,
Florida man learns you can't trust a jailhouse hitman to feed your victim to the gators.
Florida woman gets a surprise gift at a baby shower.
Florida woman is going to have a baby shower with her four boyfriends.
And Florida man will fall for anything, but especially the cops.
Plus, a Florida man food fight, fill in the blank, listener email and V-mail, and much, much more. Oh, so we've got an update to a story we did a couple months back.
A callback, I think they say, is in the industry.
Yes, the Tiger truck stop in Gross Tate, Louisiana, where the Florida woman got bit by a camel, but she bit the camel mm-hmm. on the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a sign now up on the side of I-10 that says, stop in for gas and a bite. I guess since
there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Nope. Yeah, we gave him plenty of free publicity for that one. But we got a bunch of mail this week, too. I'm drinking out of mine. I don't know if you...
Mine's in the dishwasher.
Oh, they're not dishwasher safe.
They're not?
No. Better take it out before you run it.
Oh, it's been run.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I'm product testing it then.
Okay. Well, yeah, we got some custom Florida Men cups from the Space Coasties, some of our patrons. Very nice of them to send those to us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, mine has my name and yours has your name. And
that way we don't get confused.
And I've got mine right here. And
That's not
I'm the one clinking the ice today.
So this is a clink. See, that's a clink, Joel.
Well, I don't want to spill it because my cup's
almost like you got
spilled.
A slushy in there. What are you drinking?
Coke Zero.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, it's the pebble ice from the racetrack.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Alrighty.
So thanks, guys. And we also got some snail mail here, too. I was kind of glad that we have a post office box when I saw this in the mail, because this penmanship kind of looks like a serial killer. But I'm just giving you a hard time. We actually got a little care package from Willie from the Grand Rapidians Play Video Games podcast. That was the Grand Rapidians that we mentioned a few weeks ago. They left us a review. Thank you guys for doing that.
Sweet.
Thanks for the stickers.
Nah, give me.
Well, you've got duplicates there on that one. So give me the one of that you've got two of, and you can have the rest.
I don't know, Joel. We'll have to let me. All right, here you can have one.
All right, thank you. I've only got room for one on my laptop, but yeah. So Willie sent us a little note. Says thanks for helping us out. Love the show. Glad to hear crime funnies without too much depressing murder. Hope these stickers can find a home in Florida. Oh, they have already. Thanks.
On the laptop.
Thanks, Willie. And I was just giving you a hard time about that. The handwriting. I am kind of glad that.
Well, I did watch last night the Zodiac movie from 2007.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's
on my list, but I haven't.
Some reason after we watched Zombieland.
Uh huh.
To watch Which was Zodiac. Awesome.
What, were you just at the end of the alphabet on your Netflix queue?
I think so, because it went to it went straight into the net to Zodiac.
Love Zombie. Oh, that's a good one.
So good that because he loves Twinkies, and that Twinkie was my nickname for many, many years, and he hates clowns. The other guy hates clowns.
Mm-hmm.
So much to relate to.
Okay.
A lot of dead zombies. The only bad thing is they kill Bill Murray. But other than that, it's spoiler alert if you hadn't seen it.
I hadn't.
12 years old. So
I know they just came out with the sequel this year.
So. They did?
Yeah.
There's a sequel?
Yeah, Zombieland 2.
No shit.
Yeah. So I guess you're not that big of a fan of it, are you?
Thank you. Asshole. Yeah. All right. So what else? Let's see. What else do we have to talk about today?
Let's see.
I had some good therapy session today.
Therapy?
I did have therapy today.
Physical therapy or mental therapy?
Neither. AR-15 therapy.
Ah.
Yep. I'm feeling much better. Got some frustrations out.
So that would be mental therapy.
Mental, yeah. And, yeah.
Okay. Well,
but all I need to say is that, you know, within 100 yards, you want me on your team in the zombie apocalypse. I did good.
outside 100 yards?
Well, I hadn't tried over 100 yet. The range is only 100 yards. So I hadn't tried over 100.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that actually leads us into our first story. Why don't you take that away?
All righty. Story number one. Florida man takes out an AK-47 wielding robber.
Now, it's not an AR. But
I shot an AK. I have an AK too. I shot that today too.
Okay. You weren't in Miami, were you?
No, I was in Fort. I was here.
Okay.
Not here in the house.
Didn't
illegal.
Figure you had a range here. Yeah,
no,
I hadn't seen unless it's, you've got it underground.
That would be, yeah. No. Okay. Moving on. This comes to us from CBS Miami. A 60-year-old Florida man said he was forced to shoot and kill a gunman who had broken into his van early Monday morning in an attempt to rob him of his jewelry.
Who keeps their jewelry in a van?
Maybe it was on him.
Besides this guy.
The guy I killed last night, he put an AK-47 to my damn face, said Donovan Stewart of Miami.
Well, that would be justifiable then, if somebody's holding the gun in your face and wanting to rob you.
Stewart told CBS4, Peter, what the hell name is that? Dent?
Let's call it Dench.
Dench?
Sure. Just skip over that apostrophe in the capital.
The hell is that spelled?
I don't know.
That he had to act quickly because he was worried about the safety of his 11-year-old son and girlfriend who were in the van with him.
He's 60 and he's got an 11-year-old kid? Way to go, buddy. Donovan. Keeping it going.
I am from Kingstown in Jamaica, he said, and I'm not going to go out like a punk.
Oh, you got to do that in the accent.
No, I can't do it. So I emptied my Glock into his chest.
I ain't going out like a punk.
This man tried to get in my van while I was sleeping, and he was surprised to see what I did.
You shot me.
He demonstrated what he did for CBS4. Well, he opened the door like this and pointed his AK-47, and I reached around like this and got my gun. That's how I did this to him, he said. Quote, so I thought you were going to kill me, so now I have to act quickly because I am trained, he said. You know, I have a security license, I have a G license, and I have a state firearms license, and a concealed weapons permit, and I have a gun, and I am a member of the NRA.
All right, well, he's got all the... What is a G license?
I don't
license?
Know what a G license is.
Security license isn't going to do shit for that. But the state firearms license and the concealed carry permit...
Well, concealed carry, but state firearms license is for... That's for retail. That's for sale. You don't have to have a firearms license to carry a gun. He's got to have a concealed weapons permit. I don't know what a state firearms license. Anyway, I am going to defend my life and those I love, he said. My family is innocent. And just don't put an AK-47 in my face. I will not allow that to happen. This guy also hijacked a woman in a van and was found with her car key. He robbed another woman at gunpoint.
Jesus. So it sounds like he did what the cops couldn't do and got this guy off the street.
You want to come looking for trouble, he said. Come to me. Come to me. How you like that? I wouldn't do anything like this to anybody, and they picked the wrong person in this case.
The Class G license is a Class G security license.
Oh, okay.
It's the required firearms training course for security to work as an armed security guard. So
armed security guard. Oh,
so,
okay.
So, yeah, this guy picked the wrong fucking van.
Miami police officer Mike Vega said, while this appears to be a case of self-defense, the investigation is still open. Yeah, everyone is cooperating, he said, but we still need to receive some information. We need to put all this together and determine what happened. If anybody knows anything, they should call the Miami police.
So basically they're saying, we just want to make sure this guy ain't lying, but we've got the guy with the AK-47 and
he's got
dead.
A lot of holes in him. Yeah. He ain't talking a whole lot right now. Meanwhile,
we've only got the one side of the story. So if anybody knows anything else, come talk to us. Otherwise, he's going to walk.
While Dench was at his location at the crime scene, he was approached by Delilah Gator and her boyfriend, Evans Sherry.
That's a great name for a Florida woman, Delilah Gator.
Gator said the dead gunman was the same man who terrorized her around 6 a.m. on Saturday and robbed her at gunpoint of $600 in cash, her iPhone, and her 2018 Volkswagen.
Jeez.
He had a gun and forced me to open my door, he said. He told me to open, so I gave him my cash right away. I feel very relieved now. This was a terrible thing to do to me. I was devastated and I was emotional. This is crazy to rob this man. He had a family, and to do something like that while he was living in a van is not right.
Oh, damn. The van was his house?
Yes, we said he was living in the van.
Well, he said they didn't really say. He said he was sleeping, and the guy tried to get into his van, but he didn't, like, say that he was sleeping in the van.
That's his house.
Damn. That sucks.
Sherry said, karma is something else. I mean, this woman works hard for her money. What does that mean?
I think she's saying, she's pointing to herself. This woman works hard for her.
Okay. All right. Vegas said, Miami police were trying to determine.
Oh, no. Sherry was the boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
So I was pointing at his woman.
Oh, got it.
She works hard for her money.
I'm so confused.
So Vegas said, for it, honey.
Yeah.
She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Vegas said, Miami police were trying to determine if the unidentified gunman who was killed had robbed other people.
They just said he robbed the Volkswagen lady.
Yeah. We don't normally do, this is not anything humorous about this at all, but from the standpoint
Actually, you know what? If somebody's robbing people at gunpoint with an AK-47, I will laugh at whatever shit gets done to him.
Fair enough. But it's...
He's lost all rights to not get his ass laughed at for getting six unloaded in his chest.
The irony of this is who he, not if you want to call it irony, is whom he decided to. Yeah, he chose the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't think that's irony. I think that's just dumb
karma,
luck.
Yeah.
Karma.
That, he didn't plan that out very well.
Nope.
Here's some homeless, or not homeless. Well, I guess he would, semi-homeless guy living in a van.
Yeah.
Houseless. Easy target, and he emptied a Glock in him.
Yep. How many does a Glock carry?
It depends on which model. I have one that carries 6, 7, and one that carries 20.
I want to assume he unloaded 20 into this guy.
20?
Yeah.
Well, you could. No.
He's down on the ground
at that point. You got to get out and keep shooting. No. I'm guessing not.
All right, moving on to story number two. Florida woman bought a baby bouncer from Goodwill, but something else was in the box. This one's from WQAD.com. A Florida woman wanted to get her friends a baby shower gift to welcome a new addition to their family. She found a great deal at Goodwill on what she thought was a baby bouncer. But she said the sealed box ended up containing a loaded rifle instead.
Dope.
Veronica Alvarez Rodriguez went to a Goodwill in Valparaiso, Florida on Sunday and found two gifts, a baby bathtub toy and a baby Einstein bouncer. That she said appeared to be brand new. I was winning. I thought I hit the jackpot with two gifts that were not open, she told CNN. That's when you're going to Goodwill, that's usually a rare find when you find something that's like still sealed from the factory.
I'm guessing someone just put some tape on it or something because this.
Either that or.
Obviously didn't come from.
From Baby Einstein?
Baby Einstein.
Well, I'm assuming they were maybe hiding it in the Baby Einstein box and sealed it up so nobody would take it, and then...
And some dummy forgot they put it in there and took it to Goodwill.
Exactly. Later that day at the baby shower, mother-to-be Amber Rosas and her husband received the gift and loved it. Rosas and her husband were eager to take the bouncer out of the box, but were shocked, when they found a Mossberg 715T semi-automatic rifle was inside, according to Alvarez Rodriguez. Is that a good gun?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up.
All right. All of our husbands are military. There were five soldiers around, so they knew what kind of gun it was right away, she said. Alvarez Rodriguez said she didn't think to open the box in the store because the way it was taped up indicated it had never been opened. All the questions from people at the party started coming in, and everyone was just laughing, she said. After realizing what they had on their hands, they called police and explained what happened. Police were able to confirm it was a .22 caliber rifle, although Crestview Police spokesman Andrew Schneider told CNN he can't confirm whether it was loaded.
Yeah, it's a .22 caliber in an AR-15 platform.
Oh, okay. Originally, after police inspected the gun and checked Rosa's and her husband's IDs for any felonies, the couple was told they could keep the gun, Schneider said. But Monday, Schneider said officers picked it up to try to figure out who the original owner was. With the serial number on the rifle, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives can trace the firearm to determine where it was manufactured, where it was sold or purchased, and who may have registered it.
Not in the state of Florida. You don't register guns in the state of Florida.
Hmm.
So okay. You don't. If you purchase a firearm from a second party, you do not have to file a transfer of serial numbers or re-register or register the gun that you buy secondhand.
Handguns you do, though, right?
Nope.
No?
You can buy a handgun from anybody.
What about at the store? If you buy it from
the store, all that's going to say, it's going to say that wherever the gun was, whom the manufacturer sold it to. But if they bought it straight from the store, you could get to the person.
Okay.
But if it was sold secondhand, no, you did not have to register firearms in the state of Florida.
Okay, good to know. Goodwill told CNN this wouldn't be the first time a questionable donation has surfaced. You can imagine we get all kinds of crazy things. Some are donated intentionally and some accidentally, so it's not uncommon for weird things to come through, said Tamara Williams, Goodwill's Vice President of Human Resources. Quote, we've had someone's ashes donated.
What? What are you going to do with that? Here, I don't want this motherfucker in my house. Here, y'all take him.
This is, I like this little,
Here, take the vase.
Yeah, take this vase. I can't get the lid off of it. Don't know what's in there.
It's full of dust, but here, you can have it.
Yep. William said, although Goodwill can't be certain the rifle was in the box when it was sold from their Valparaiso store, she doesn't have reason to believe otherwise. William said that she spoke with the person who took in the item, and they told her they didn't have any indication there was anything other than a baby bouncer inside the box. Now, if I was working at Goodwill and taking that in, wouldn't I be... Aren't they supposed to, like, inspect the thing to make sure, like, all the pieces are there? And
negative.
I mean, not legally, but I would think Goodwill's policy is open the box, make sure everything's in there.
Get it out.
She told Williams it didn't rattle and didn't seem any heavier than it should have been. I find that part hard to believe.
Not if it's a .22 caliber.
It's not going to be, because baby bouncers aren't that heavy.
Neither is this gun.
Okay. If a Goodwill donation seems accidental or personal before it hits shelves, Williams said company policy is to set it aside for 30 days and see whether anyone comes to claim it. Alvarez Rodriguez said she reached out to Baby Einstein on Twitter to see if it was aware of what happened. The company told her it doesn't sell products directly to Goodwill and doesn't have control over what happens with used products.
Duh.
Baby Einstein did, however, promise to send Rosas a new jumper, Alvarez Rodriguez said. So they didn't lose out on having the baby jumper.
Well, that's a score. Well, they didn't get to keep the gun.
They might. If nobody claims it, then that goes to them. If no owner is found for the rifle, Schneider said Rosas and her husband may keep the weapon if they follow state laws to register it.
That's interesting, because there are no state laws to register it.
Okay.
I just double-checked here. So it's federal. Florida does not require a permit or a license to buy a gun, nor does the state require registration of guns. However, you need a license to carry a concealed weapon.
So what you're saying is the police don't know the law on the gun?
I don't know. Apparently not. You can keep it as long as you register it. Well, you don't. Where am I going to register? Because there is no website on the state of Florida where you register
firearms. So what the cop's saying is, you bring us a paper that says this is registered, you can have the gun. I guess so. Otherwise, we're keeping it.
But I can't get to it to register it. Well, I guess we're keeping it then.
Yeah. That, I bet you. Never mind. All right.
All right. Story number three. And I hope I'm right. Don't quote me again. Don't take legal advice from a podcast. This is just my... This is what I, in my classes and things I've been to, I am no expert on gun laws in the state of Florida. There, I said it. All right, story number
Thank
three.
You, Morgan and Morgan.
Yeah, for the people.
Coming in January 2020, The Daily Dog. The Daily Dog is a podcast about dogs made for dog lovers. Every day, we'll feature somebody's furry friend and share news, tips, and products that'll interest any animal lover, but especially those of the canine persuasion. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast app, or at dailydogpodcast.com to be sure you catch every episode from the very beginning. The Daily Dog starts January 1st, so subscribe now and don't miss a single pooch. That's the Daily Dog Podcast from Shadyside Media.
Story number three. Polygamous Florida woman.
Polyamorous.
What?
Polyamorous. Multiple lovers. Polygamous would mean multiple spouses.
You are correct.
This one, she's not married. She's just screwing them all.
How you say it?
Polyamorous.
I have never heard that word. I'm 52 years old.
Well, I've been deeper on the internet than you have, apparently.
Polyamorous Florida woman with four boyfriends is pregnant.
Yes.
A slutty woman in Florida with four...
Don't judge. There's no judging.
I'm not going to be able to do this word the whole...
A lucky woman.
A polyamorous woman in Florida with four partners is pregnant. What are the odds? And says despite sharing...
four times the usual.
And says despite sharing her bed with her many lovers, she's certain of who the father is.
Well, she would know.
Tori Weida?
Ojeda.
That's what I said. Ojeda. 20 years old.
Youngin' too. Oh.
Lives with three of her four partners in their Jacksonville, Florida home. Mark, Travis, Ethan, and Christopher.
Wait. Two of those names are two of our patrons' names. Oh, Travis lives in Michigan, though, not Jacksonville.
Do you really think Travis would be in a dam? Come on. Come on.
Hey, he would be in the other way around.
Come on. Think he'd be sharing?
They would be sharing him.
Do you think he wants sloppy seconds? No.
Or right. Fourths?
Fourths. Gross. All right. Where was I? Mark, Travis, Ethan, and Christopher take turns spending time with Ojeda. Swapping in and out of her bed each night, she tells Barcroft Media.
Now, that's a little vague. I want to know, are they all four of them swapping out every night? Or
no,
does each one night. Get one night? One,
yeah, so you get
I'm
once
Monday,
every fifth
Wednesday,
night.
Friday, and you're Tuesday,
no.
Thursday. And
no, she one's Monday, Friday, every 4 days.
She get a night off?
Apparently, I don't know. Oh, she may get a week off every 28 days.
Mark, it's your turn.
You're up every 21 days. Yeah, here you go. You're in. Tag. The household's love story began 3 years ago when Ojeda? Oh, fuck. What's her name?
Tori.
Met Mark, 18, in high school.
Whoa. She's 20. 3 years ago, she was 17. 3 years ago, he was 15. Little cradle robbing going on there.
In high school. 2 months later, she opened things up with Travis, 23.
So he was 20 and she was 17. Little cradle robbing going the other direction this time.
To whom she is now engaged.
Hmm.
Later, she brought Ethan, who's 22, and Christopher, 22, in the fold.
Is that what they're calling it? In the folds?
Folds, yeah.
Which and fold is it?
Is there a crime here, or is this... Are there pictures?
Yes, there are. And let me tell you, these guys look like the guest list at a Magic the Gathering convention.
They show a picture of her?
They show a picture of all five of them.
Oh, dear, they're playing cards.
I'm pretty sure that's Magic the Gathering.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm thinking this is 25% more pussy than they're used to getting.
And despite her plans to get married to Travis, Tori said he's not the father of her baby, due in February. Chris is the biological father, she says.
Okay.
We just know that because of timing and when the approximate conception date was. Based off the approximate conception date, we had been on vacation, so it was only us.
Mm. So,
but also a vacation, so he must have traded up.
Yeah, he got her for a whole weekend, apparently.
Oh, I wonder what the damn relationship agreement looks like for this thing. I bet Sheldon would have a blast with this.
Oh, God. Roommate agreement?
Yeah, the roommate agreement. Yeah. Well, there's a relationship agreement, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh,
all right, here we go.
Relationship agreement. Oh.
But for the soon-to-be family
now,
of six.
Now, Sheldon wouldn't be on this because he's a germaphobe.
But for the soon-to-be family of six. Those are just minor details. We're all raising the baby together, so everyone's dad, she says. We're all very, very excited to be raising a baby together.
Yeah, because she has four incomes coming in. She
four dads to change the diapers and shit. Wow. It won't be without its complications, though. The group says they've dealt with bouts of jealousy over the years.
I'm sure they have.
It was especially hard for Mark and Travis to accept newcomers, Ethan and Christopher, at first. But Ethan says they all talked it out on their own good terms now.
Again.
And let's get
25% is better than zero.
And here's the matter of sharing. She says it's pretty exhausting having to please four different men under the same roof.
Would it be easier if they were in different roofs?
She's actually encouraged her boyfriends to pursue other love interests.
Yeah. You've seen the pictures, right?
Dividing time.
That ain't going to happen.
Dividing time and figuring out schedules between all five people and making sure everyone feels included is kind of difficult, she says.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like not to be the only woman in the relationship. That would definitely be nice.
Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know any woman that's going to come in.
When the baby comes.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
When the baby comes, having multiple parents in the house might be a benefit, says Christopher, who's looking forward to sharing the responsibilities of fatherhood with the three other men. In his relationship.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do 75% of what he would normally be doing as a dad.
There's a lot of support between all of us dads, and it's something we can tag team, he says. We always joke about the idea of getting stuck in an endless loop of go ahead, go ask your dad.
They're not all dads, though. One of them's dad. The other three are mom's creepy boyfriends.
Their daughter will surely appreciate the humor.
Maybe not.
Joel, I have another 15 lines of this story. Are you going to comment after every single line?
No, not everything.
The rest of the group's family is coming around to their unconventional setup, they say. At the very beginning, I know my mother and father were hesitant about it, Christopher says. Her main concern was that she didn't like the idea of me having a partner who was not fulfilled with me alone. As with most normal people.
Yeah.
Her brother, though, Ojeda. Ojeda's brother, though, is all on board. I'm more concerned that she's happy and that she's in a relationship where they both love each other mutually, or in this case, more people love each other mutually, says her brother, Alistair. I don't see anything wrong with Tori's relationship. Tori and her boyfriends hope society will one day come around to their type of relationship. Already, couples and thruples say opening up their marriage has only made it stronger.
I call bullshit on that. It's not, that's, there's a lot of jealousy that you would have to deal with. I know of some people actually personally that tried doing that and it ended up breaking up the original marriage and the guy ended up going with the other girl.
One thruple with two kids from California recently told the Post they've come to realize monogamy isn't all it's cracked up to be, and they say others are starting to realize this too. We definitely love a little differently. One part of the thruple, Josh Loveless, told the Post.
All right, it's right there in his name. Loveless. He was trying to love more. I'm sorry, I'm done.
Ojeda tends to agree. Maybe in our future, we might see it become a common thing where people don't bat an eye on it anymore at all. She says, one can hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made it. That was a long story.
This is an odd story. I mean, I guess, have you seen the show Big Love? No. Was that the one? Was that? There was a show with a Mormon family with a husband with like three wives, sister wives or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've seen it going the other direction where there's a guy and multiple women, but never one girl and four baby daddies.
What's going to be funny is when they find out. Yep. Sorry.
No, it wasn't Chris. It was.
It was number five.
Oh.
One she found on vacation. Food fight! Now it's time for the Florida Man Food Fight.
All right, this one comes to us from WFTV.com, and we did get a clarification on the pronunciation from our listener. You want to take a crack at it? It is not knitten, and it is not knighten.
No idea then.
Knitteen.
There's no E in there, though.
No, it's of Indian origin, he said.
Oh,
okay. And he sent me a link to a website that pronounces it for you.
Oh, okay.
Our food fight this week, Florida man stole a golf cart because people were eating his brains, according to him anyway. A man stole a truck, then led police on a wild chase through busy golf courses, narrowly missing at least one woman, Lady Lake police say. Officers said someone called 911 Sunday morning when a man showed up at the gatehouse of the Country Club Hills community across from the village's regional hospital. The community surrounds Orange Blossom Hills Golf and Country Club and the village's water tower. According to police, the person on the phone said there was a man at the gatehouse who stated that, quote, people were eating his brains out, unquote, and then took off running. Police said the man, 29-year-old Jesse Webb, then stole a company vehicle and drove off. At least two officers chased Webb as he drove onto and through a golf course, narrowly missing a woman who was about to putt on the 16th hole, police said. The woman told officers that it looked like Webb was coming right at her, and she had to jump out of the way as Webb and the stolen vehicle ran over her golf towel just a few feet away, police said. Webb and the pursuing officers continued to weave from road to golf course as they got closer to the village's water tower, then back onto U.S. 441. Police said Webb eventually crashed near a nursing home about a half mile away from the village's regional hospital, but got out of the wrecked car and ran from officers. When officers caught Webb, he complained of a pain in his right calf and was taken to Leesburg Regional Hospital. When the hospital released him, police said a handcuffed Webb tried to unsuccessfully grab an officer's taser. A manager of the villages said the chase caused thousands of dollars in damages, according to police. Officers said Webb had a Georgia driver's license and had two active warrants out of Georgia for a probation violation and was carrying a round of rifle ammunition and a shotgun shell during the chase.
So I'm confused.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything about a stolen golf cart in here.
No, it looks like he stole a truck. A truck. Headline writer probably just wasn't paying attention on this one. And neither was I when I copied and pasted.
Was that rips up golf course in wild chase? It doesn't say anything about it. Stole a golf cart. Man says someone is eating his brain, rips up golf course in a wild chase. All right, so he didn't steal a golf cart. He stole a truck.
Right.
Okay, that's where I was confused. I was waiting for the golf cart to come in, and there was no golf cart. All right, I'm getting this one this week.
You're getting this one. The fill in the blank?
Yep.
All right. Fill in the blank here. A Florida man who blank his dog to establish dominance over the animal avoids jail time. Fill in the blank.
Starved.
Incorrect.
If this has sex, I'm going to, then I'm not reading it.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Incorrect.
Thank God. Okay. establish dominance. Pulled out his teeth.
Pulled out the dog's teeth?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
All right. Then I'm not getting it this week then.
Nope. He bit the dog.
Oh.
Yep. From DentonDaily.com, a Florida man who admitted biting his dog to, quote, establish dominance, unquote, over the animal, will avoid jail time even though he pleaded guilty to the offense. Patrick Shurod Campbell, age 27, pleaded guilty Friday to an animal cruelty charge and was sentenced to 4 years probation by a Palm Beach County judge.
Damn.
Campbell was also ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation and was barred from possessing animals of any kind or, quote, living with anyone with animals on property, unquote. Makes you wonder if that includes like an apartment complex. If somebody on the property, somebody else on the property has an animal, you can't live there. Or are they just talking about like single family homes?
Single.
To enforce the animal bans, Campbell is subject to random inspections of his Lake Worth residence by animal care and control agents. He was arrested in May after police responded to a 911 call about someone abusing a dog in an apartment that he shared with his roommates. Officers found the dog, a husky called Dimitri, age 2. Nice that they put the dog's age in there, you know, treating him humanely. They found the dog inside a closet in Campbell's room where blood was smeared on the carpet and a recliner. I'm going to skip over the rest of this. You get the idea. There's nothing real funny about this, except the fact that he man bites dog. You know, that's the cliche.
Damn. Story number 5, our cinco for our Spanish-speaking friends. Florida man falls from a roof during a robbery. Florida man was taken into custody after police. This is from Miami Herald, by the way. A Florida man was taken into custody. Miami again?
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of Miami stories. Once again, a Florida man was taken into custody after police say he fell from a Miami Family Dollar store roof during a break-in. He also left behind a hefty $60,000 repair bill.
What the hell did he fall on? Jesus.
Fall through. Pedro Rodriguez, age 55, of Miami, entered the store through the roof early Tuesday morning, said a Miami police spokesman. When the police arrived, they found Rodriguez putting more than $7,000 worth of cigarette boxes into a garbage bin, according to the arrest report. He came in to get some smokes.
Well, I mean, are they including the tax on those? Because that could jack up the price artificially of the value of the cigarettes.
When Rodriguez spotted the officers, he tried to climb up the hole and fell, hurting his back, the police report states.
Poor baby.
He eventually made it onto the roof and was seen walking back and forth on the rooftop before being taken to Jackson Memorial Hospital for his injuries, according to police. They found a crack pipe with what they believe is cocaine residue in his front pocket. They also found a wooden hammer with a sharp steel tip, Rodriguez's bike, and a book bag with a screwdriver at the store. So he had a bicycle.
He had a bike. He had some tools to break in.
And a screwdriver.
And a crack pipe.
And a crack pipe.
That would
all the essentials you need to break into the Family Dollar.
Exactly.
The concealed metal box, which houses the store's video surveillance system's motherboard, also showed signs of tampering, according to police.
It was an inside job.
The system's battery was removed, wires were pulled, and the motherboard, including card readers, were missing.
Oh, he knew what he was doing then.
Rodriguez is facing multiple charges relating to burglary, grand theft, and drug paraphernalia, and is being held on $27,000 bond. They estimated to have $60,000 in damages.
So he didn't even have to pay half of that in his bond. Not even a tenth of half of that in his bond.
That's a lot of shit.
Well, since they're saying that it's the security system, that's probably where most of the damage came from.
Probably, yeah. Wouldn't be from the roof.
Yeah.
Lay off the crack, people.
All right, our final story tonight. Florida man attempted to hire an inmate to kill four people and feed them to pigs or alligators.
Yep.
His choice. This one's from Newsweek. A 76-year-old Florida man incarcerated at the Marion County Jail is facing fresh charges after offering an inmate $4,000 and a car to kill four people, police say. Gary Bangstad of Citra is accused of creating a list of victims and telling an inmate he tried to recruit that everyone whose name was on the note should be fed to the pigs or alligators, unquote, the Marion County Sheriff's Office said yesterday in a social media release. An arrest report shared with Newsweek said the illicit request came to light on October 20th after the fellow inmate reported it to a deputy. Investigators said the inmate claimed to have written and signed evidence from Bangstad describing who he wanted killing, the location of the victims, and the amount of money he would be willing to pay. Bangstad claimed an earlier attempt to hire a hit had ended after the recruited inmate died by suicide.
That's bad recruiting.
He can pick them, can he? First one kills himself, the second one turns him in. Bangstad was initially jailed on October 18th for violating probation on a simple battery charge. So he's trading up here. He's now charged with five new counts of solicitation of murder and is being held without bond. According to the arrest report, the inmate was asked by Bangstad to shoot the victims and, quote, leave no evidence, unquote. He allegedly provided an accurate map of where the victims would be sleeping in the home. The report indicated multiple children were living at the residence. That's fucked up. During a November interview with detectives, the suspect had displayed, quote, resentment and anger, unquote, towards the potential victims. Police noted Bangstad had previously lived at the home. The detective wrote, quote, I showed the defendant a copy of the note he wrote to the inmate with the names and description of everyone living in the house, $1,000 for each murder, and a Buick.
That's cheap. I don't know what the going rate is for murder, but $1,000 seems a little on the light side.
Yeah, although you never know how much the Buick costs. Could be a nice Buick. The defendant stated,
Probably not if he's only offering $1,000, though.
Yeah, true. The defendant stared at the note for quite some time in silence and then stated, quote, I was just telling him how much my car was worth. Sure, buddy. Bangstad admitted to writing the note and its intention. Bangstad asserted he did not previously know the fellow inmate, while a records check confirmed a 2004 Buick was registered to his name.
Yeah, like I said,
a 15-year-old car. Yeah. And $4,000. Yeah.
To get about $4,500.
For mass murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not. At one point in the report, the detective noted Bangstad could be heard uttering the word, God damn it, while picking up a copy of his note. The 76-year-old told police he was, quote, of a clear mind, unquote, during the interview and had, quote, no mental impairments, unquote. He said he previously worked as a college professor and holds a PhD. The name of the second inmate was not released by law enforcement.
So what was he in the jail for the first place?
Parole violation or, was it parole violation? Yeah, probation violation on a simple battery charge. So he punched somebody and got probation for it. And
he's going to be there a little bit longer now.
Yeah, he's going to be there a lot longer now.
He hadn't watched many gangster movies because that is really on the light side to get somebody to go.
Yeah, you got to make it worth their while so they're not going to snitch on you.
$1,000 and a $500 car probably ain't going to do it.
No, you got to go a little bit higher. But yeah, holds a PhD, so he probably just thinks he's smarter than everybody else and was going to get away with it.
Not in this case. All right, that's the show for this week, folks. If you want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast using the links in the show notes.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pandora, or wherever you listen to Florida Men.
Like us and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter. We are at Florida Men Pod.
Got a suggestion for a story you'd like us to cover? Send us an email to floridamenpodcast@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 567-432-9674.
We got this email. Why you make me say it? Is it Joaquin?
Joaquin. Like shit, Phoenix.
All right, and we got this email from Joaquin. Subject, huge fan. Love the podcast. Did I do it wrong?
No, just wait.
Huge fan. Love the podcast. Just wanted to take the time to say you guys are awesome and hilarious, and I hope the show goes on forever.
Well, thanks. So do we.
I've binge listened all your episodes twice already, and it's still funny as the first time I've listened to them.
That's two times more than Phil has.
Yeah. I'm a truck driver for a produce company in Naples, Florida. My route is in Sanibel Island, and Florida Man really helps me cope with these damn fucking snowbirds constantly driving shitty and causing bumper-to-bumper traffic.
I feel you, brother.
You guys definitely make my work day easier. P.S. I was hoping you'd let Phil pronounce my name, but he got it right. Ha ha. Suck it, Matt from Washington State. And Tracy kissed my ass. Also, I hate clowns, too. Keep the good work, fellas.
Thanks, Joaquin.
But I did fuck it up.
Well, I was going to cut that out, but...
Oh, well, then cut that part out, then.
Okay.
If you'd like to... Oh, thanks, brother. I appreciate the email. Yeah, if you don't... Trust, in Fort Myers, Sanibel, Cape Coral, Naples area, we are almost in the peak of snowbird season.
Mm-hmm.
And
once the new year hits,
oh my God,
fucking awful. But right now, it's bad enough.
It's bad, and it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
Especially going to everybody's got to go to Sanibel.
Oh yeah, Sanibel's even. I don't get the appeal of Sanibel. I mean,
the only good thing about Sanibel, it's on the way to Captiva.
I don't get the appeal of Captiva.
I love Captiva.
I mean, it's a beach
with a lot of big, expensive homes.
So you don't get to go in them.
I can look at them though. If you would like to support the show financially, you can drop something in our online tip jar at paypal.me/Floridaman.
So Phil can buy one of those big expensive homes.
Or to get early access and extended ad-free episodes and other cool stuff, you can subscribe at patreon.com/Floridaman, or you can send us something from our Amazon wish list. The link is in the show notes.
And we'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers personally. They are at the Jacksonville tier, Joaquin, Cassandra, David, and Wallace. At the Tampa tier, Roxanne, Stephanie, Colin, Kurt, One Foot in the Grave Podcast, Kat, and Michael. At the Tallahassee tier, Matthew from Washington State, Koneth, Erica, Heather,
woo-hoo!
Paradise After Dark Podcast, Nicole, McKenna, Matt, Taya, and JP. At the Daytona tier, Katie and Jessica. At the Orlando tier, the Space Coasties, Stephen, Danielle, and Lata. And at the Miami tier, Travis. And y'all should by now have gotten something in the mail from us, so just let us know if you got that.
Steve sent me a note and said he did.
Oh, cool.
He got his stickers.
Awesome.
I told him I actually signed the card. He was not impressed. This program is provided.
Autographs of us now.
This program is provided for informational use only. No warranty or professional relationship is implied, and no refunds will be granted. So I meant to say this earlier. Kurt, I did just talk to Kurt, and he has given a suggestion for apparel.
Okay.
We need to have Florida Man onesies for the babies.
Florida Man onesies. I believe that is doable.
So he says we need to have onesies for the babies.
I will see
future Florida Man. this program is provided for information use only. No warranty. I just said that. It's not my turn. I'm so confused.
Okay. Views expressed on this program are solely the opinions of Shadyside Media, LLC, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and do not imply an endorsement by our sponsors, spouses, families, employers, each other, or the Florida Board of Tourism.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or retransmission without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.
This podcast was recorded at Southern Audio Production Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, and mixed one night out of every four.
And as always, we'll finish up tonight with the Ballad of the Florida Man. And Tracy, can kiss my ass.
Florida man, might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. Got his feet in the sand while he works on his tan. He's got an annual pass to Disneyland. He drinks his beer from a can, he lives in his van. It's a mobile tiny house inside. It's Florida man. Florida man. Might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. Florida man. A dumbass, but we love him. He's a Florida man.
Lay off the crack, people.
The preceding podcast is copyright 2019 by Shadyside Media, LLC. All rights reserved.